Welcome to the Masquerade, a podcast all about taking off the fake identity masks we all wear in this masquerade called life. I'm Brittany Alexandria, and if you've listened to my podcast at all or read anything I posted online, you already know who our guest is today because everybody knows I talk about her all the time. But just in case you're new here, I'll give her a short introduction anyway. She's my best friend, my sister by choice, our worship director, the answer to so many of my prayers, and pretty much the awesomest person I know. All that, and she's my unpaid editor too, so it just makes sense that she would be the first guest on my podcast. So please welcome my awesome twin, Shelby Lilly.
Hello, happy to be here.
So this is my first podcast with somebody. Don't know how it's gonna flow quite yet, but we planned it a little bit. So first question, crash course on Shelby Lilly. Who is Shelby Lilly?
Who is Shelby Lilly? Well, first off, you just need to know that asking me any question and having me, like, actually give one answer is one of the hardest things for me to do, so I'm going to try. Okay, so who is Shelby Lilly? Whenever I hear that kind of question, I automatically think of, like, those things when people say, like, describe yourself in, like, a couple of words. And what always comes to mind to me is so ridiculous because one of them is the word simple, but the other word that comes to mind is complicated, and those are, like, completely opposite from each other, but they describe me, I feel, perfectly, because I feel like a lot of me is very simple, and then some of me is very complicated. So I'm simple and complicated. I also feel like who I am is a lot of what I do. I'm the director of operations at my church, which I think we're going to talk a little bit more about later. I'm the worship director at the church as well, and I'm also a kids piano teacher, which has been my longest job. I've been doing that for 13 years and love it. And it is something that I'm really thankful for because I feel like it pulls on my strengths of being a teacher, but also working with kids and just having fun and connecting with people and sharing a love of music, which is pretty much everything you need to know about me right now.
An excellent point you brought up is multiple answers because Lord knows I don't know how to give one answer to things.
Yes,
so you should be prepared for that.
Yep.
Just in general. Second, I heard something outside that everybody should be warned about. I live next to an Air Force base, also emergency services, and there's a playplace outside. So if you hear kids, ambulances, or any other noises, it's okay. You're probably safe.
Yeah, it's not you hearing it from your own, like, where you actually are.
The simply complicated thing could not be farther from the truth, or could not be closer to the truth, is what I meant to say. You are somehow both simple and complicated, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful when it's, like, in the simple one. I feel like when it's in the complicated one, I'm like, man, this is so confusing.
I mean, when you're complicated, it makes it easier to try and get to know you.
That's true.
So. And after 10 years, I feel like you need to be a little bit complicated. Speaking of simple and complicated, love. Mm-hmm. Which leads us to our next question, because it has so many different meanings. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested in what your answer is, because it could be anything, because of those so many meanings of love. What do you love?
What do I love? Well, what comes to mind first is, like, I love my family. I love my friends. I love my boyfriend. I love the things in my life that bring me joy and all that, like the people in my life, I mean, but if it's not people, like, I love my faith, I love my my job, I love music, probably the most of anything outside of people and my faith, but I also love story, so any kind of form of story, which songs often can be, but books, movies, people telling me stories, telling stories, I love story. I feel like that's probably it.
Lots of things to love. This is why I love language, because there's so many different meanings, or not meanings, different types of love in the Greek language. Mm-hmm. And we won't go down that list right now. I will save that for another time. But we need more words in English, because I say I love a lot of things, when in reality, I'm learning to use different words, because that is a long list of things that I'm very sure you probably love in many different ways. Also, speaking of love, because I also use this word for these things, what are you obsessed with or passionate about?
Yeah, when I saw this question, I wrote down, well, I'm not generally obsessive. I leave that to Brittany. But,
check out my other podcast, Obsessive Girl.
I have nothing wrong with obsession. I just personally don't usually fall into it. But when it comes to passionate, I think the description for it, for me, turns into, like, what do I hope to bring to the world? Because I feel like if you're just passionate and it's just how you feel about a thing, you're not really ever going to change anything. But if you're willing to actually step into it, then you're actually going to do some good in the world. So what am I passionate about, or what do I hope to bring into the world? So funny, because it's like the opposite of passionate. I hope to bring peace into the world. I hope to bring the ability for people to not be afraid, or to not be angry, or to have more joy in their lives, to have wisdom in their lives. I hope that, like, my presence does that for people. So it's not necessarily like global, but it's like intentional with each person that I am connected to try and bring peace to their lives.
It's interesting that you could bring up the difference between passion and peace being technically contradictory, mm-hmm. because yesterday I was looking up the definition of calm confidence, because it was used to describe a character I like, and I was like, that it describes it perfectly and what I've been striving for. And so I looked up calm, and it said something like free from excitement, and it like had three other definitions too, but excitement was like, well, I'm just never going to be calm then, because I'm either anxious or excited, and they're both just two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's who you are.
Yeah, sure would be nice to be calm sometimes, though. What's that like?
I'm just going to say, like, most of the time when I'm, like, that calm, like, it's a little boring. Like, so there's good parts to not being calm, you know? Sometimes it's like, well, I could get a little more excited about things, so.
Maybe I don't want to be calm now. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I want to have a nice flow to this, but I am going through a list of questions. So the next question, what gives you hope? And for the listeners, I gave two options, two examples, because I wanted something spiritually, but also something simply, maybe even something silly. Mm-hmm. So what brings you hope?
Yeah, what I would put down for, like, spiritually is... For me, what brings me hope is when I remember that God is not far off. So when I remember, like, I always get this picture in my head, like, I'm an image person. So I see this image of, like, this giant hand as if that's God. I mean, I know he's more than just a hand, but, like, that's the picture I have. And I'm sitting in the center of it, and I'm so, like, close in the center of it that I'm, like, nowhere near the edges. And so what gives me hope is remembering that, like, no matter what I'm experiencing, no matter what I'm facing, and anyone I love is facing, we're really just in the middle of his hand, and, like, we're not in any danger at all. So that gives me a lot of hope spiritually.
That actually goes really well with my image when I think of God the Father, uh-huh. because it's two hands just coming out of the clouds, like that cliche picture, you know. Uh-huh. If you grew up in the church, you probably are familiar with the picture, but that's what I see. So I like that it's similar but different. That's which is cool. Basically us as people.
Yeah, so. And that's funny that we've never actually talked about that before, because it's like obviously the big images that we have. So
we haven't talked about this before in 10 years.
And it's crazy that we haven't. I'm surprised we talked about everything.
Or we
else.
Probably did and we forgot. Like,
that's true. That's true.
The amount of times they say, "Have I told you this?" I'm gonna tell you anyway.
That's true. That's fair. So in less like deep kind of way, what gives me hope? You just need to know this about me, and Brittany knows it. I cannot do cold. I can't. I cannot. It makes me so sad being cold. So what brings me hope, like, legitimately, is sunshiny weather, especially when it's been in the midst of, like, winter kind of season. Like as we're recording this, it's been winter, and then it's been, like, sunny the last couple days. Literally feel, like, a joy radiating off of me, and multiple people have been like, "You look really happy today." And I'm like, "The sun is shining. Obviously I'm happy, so..." Yeah, the sunshiny weather.
This was one of the questions I was most looking forward to, because anybody could interpret this part of the question differently.
Yeah.
And I did not see that coming, and I'm so glad I didn't, because it makes so much sense. You posted, I think it was today, about being in a hammock.
Uh-huh.
And you said something about going outside, which is very fitting for you. And I almost commented, I was like, "What's outside?" Because I work from home.
Yeah.
I never leave the house except for on Tuesdays and Sundays, pretty much.
Yeah.
So...
It's like if you were to describe, like, I don't know that most people would think to describe me as outdoorsy, although I love being outdoors, but I definitely would describe Brittany as indoorsy.
I'm secretly a vampire, and I don't say that as a reference to my love for vampire dramas. It's literally, I just stay inside all day, unless it's dark, and then I go outside.
That is really funny. You are a vampire.
And when it's not dark outside, I can't help but react, when I do open the door because I'm not expecting it.
You're like, it's bright.
I have two curtains on my window right next to me right now. And one of them is a blackout curtain, but I still covered them. No, that's not true. But there are two, nonetheless. Yeah,
this is so funny because I walk into a place that doesn't have windows and I'm like immediately like, I'm so sad in here. So.
Fascinating because we both like sad things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like sad things. I don't like to be sad. I feel like they're different for me anyway.
That's fair. I'll have to think more about that later, but it's not necessarily relevant right now, so we will bring that to another conversation later. And then, before I explain why I wanted you to be in my book and on my podcast, I do want to ask you why you agreed to be a part of it, but first, I think we should take a break. And we're back from our break. No, we're not. I'm going to actually pause that again.
Hey, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this content and want more from me, go find me on Instagram and Twitter at OGBrittanyAlex. That's at OGBrittanyAlex. You can also find me at my website, obsessivehope.com. You can find me on Amazon with a book of the same title, The Mask, Her Aid by Brittany Alexandria. And if you did enjoy this content, I would really appreciate it if you rate, review, and subscribe. I hope you have a great day or evening wherever you are. And thanks again for listening.
And we're back from our break. Sorry, I did that twice. And so it's funny. Back to the question.
Yeah.
Before I explain why I wanted you to be in my book and on my podcast, why did you agree to be a part of it?
Well, number one, I love you.
Yay.
And two, I really connected with the book idea when you told me about it. I think it's something that everyone could benefit from just talking about the fact that, I mean, it's true. We all do tend to walk through life with some masks on, and it's important to identify those, to question why we always do the things that we do, so that we can grow to be better. So I just love the idea of it. And then the idea of being on the podcast, I just thought such a cool thing to like expand on that, what happened in the book, because it was several years ago at this point, to kind of reconnect with some of the people that you had their stories in there and see like, okay, like where are you at with those things and what has changed in that time. So I just thought it was really cool.
I was told in high school, I think it was, probably high school, that, and it was by a spiritual leader that like mentored pretty much every woman I grew up with. And by grew up with, I mean before I turned almost 19 when I met you. she's like, I feel like you're gonna be in women's ministry. And so I sort of took that and ran with it, which maybe, but also like it feels consistent with this because this whole idea has been consistently on my heart, probably longer than I realized, but for sure the 10 years. So that was part of why I did this. So I'm glad you agreed to be a part of it. Also, something that prompted the podcast, which may or may not be relevant, is Sarah, who you all will hear a little bit about later, actually. She, when we were in small group together, we were talking and praying about when the book came out, and she's like, I don't know what this means, take it as you will, but I see this growing legs and running. Wow. I'm like, I think she said taking off or something like that, but cool. I was like, that's terrifying, and also, I kind of want to run with it, but I don't want to, like, and I think that honestly might be why it's taken me so long to do the podcast. Fear, one, and two, I want to make sure that I'm listening to the Lord and not whatever.
Yeah, not just trying to make it be something in your own strength and your own timing. That's wise.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. If it goes anywhere, who knows? Right. You gotta take everybody's words seriously when they're a spiritual leader, but also with a grain of salt. So it's a weird combination of listening and not. So I wanted to make sure I hit a few things when I explained why I invited you. So this might sound a tiny bit scripted because I am going off in a script, but I do this for a living, so I'm hoping it does it. All right, so it'd probably be faster to explain why I didn't invite you, but I'll try to keep it short. At the beginning of the book, I explain that I wrote The Masquerade because it said that we should all be who we needed when we were younger. I needed someone who was older than me and or in a leadership position to show me it's okay to not have it all together. And in so many beautiful ways, you are both older than me and in a leadership position have shown me exactly that. It's okay not to have it all together. In your chapter, which is the first chapter that we're talking about coming up, Perfect Love Casts Out Fear, I wrote, I have only been able to take off my mask with the help of God. Without him, there would be no unmasking. But God knows that taking off masks is a lot easier with the help of friends. And Shelby has helped me the most in finding and accepting my true identity. That was true when I wrote this book, which started 10 years ago, was published, what, 5 years ago now? Holy moly. It was 5 years ago. Because it's 2022. No, 4 years. Just kidding. It was 2018. It's
okay. we're not great at math, listeners. We're not great at math.
That's why I'm a writer. And Lord knows it's way more true now. How it could be truer 10 years later is beyond me, but it is. So, I wanted to tell you that in person because I don't think I've ever said that in person. As I said, I'm a writer. I write pretty consistently 2 to 4 page letters.
Yes.
And it's teeny tiny handwriting.
Yes, guys, it's the smallest handwriting you've ever seen. It is so perfect. Every time I see it, I tell her. It just blows my mind every single time.
Yes. And I bring that up to say, y'all need to know, I have told her.
Yes.
I haven't told her in person.
I have received many notes, but yes, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And public posts. So that, and then slightly more silly, but also not, because as I said earlier, obsessive girl is very much part of my identity in the best of ways. While I was preparing for this and future interviews, I was thinking about all the roles in Cinderella and other princess stories. In Cinderella, of course, there's Cindy and the prince and the mice and the fairy godmother. And I realized that in a lot of practical and symbolic ways, because y'all know I love a good symbol? Symbolism.
I don't know, you can crash some symbols together if you feel like it. You go right ahead.
Lord knows I'm loud enough without them. I don't need no symbols. You have been the quote-unquote fairy godmother character in my story. Then I was talking about it with my brother, who I think is still across the hall, so if you hear any random noises, that would be him. And he said, I'm Mary Santiago, and you're her best friend, Tammy. Respectively, to anyone who might not know, those are the Cinderella and Fairy Godmother characters in another Cinderella story starring Selena Gomez, who, by the way, is going to be mentioned later, so just get used to the fandom references. And that made a lot of sense to me when he mentioned that for several reasons. Well, two, really. One, because I've always been the sort of awkward, very insecure girl, and it made even more sense when he accidentally said Sam Montgomery at first instead of Mary Santiago, because Sam is the sort of clumsy and very insecure Cinderella character from the cult classic, A Cinderella Story. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to tell you that. If you haven't seen it, why are you waiting? It's been like 20 years at this point. And the second reason is because Tammy, the best friend, in my opinion, is a super cool character who would be fun as the main character in her own story. In some ways, she's even cooler than Mary, and of course, Mary wouldn't be anywhere near as self-confident without the belief and support of Tammy. And that is 100% me with Shelby Lilly. Mm-hmm. By the way, case you haven't caught on, it's not actually her first name. I just love the sound of Shelby Lily together. It's her first and last name. Yes. So there will be times when I just say Shelby.
Yes.
I've also known, like, 8 Shelbys that have been relevant enough in my life that I needed to specify who I was talking about. So, side note, that's relevant. So, anyway, that's why I wanted you on the podcast. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Just that it's an honor. I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for all of your sweet words. It's been really a privilege to be a part of seeing you grow over these years. I mean, I've obviously grown myself as we've been growing up together, but like, just being a witness to the things that you say I've been a part of. I mean, I can only point to God and say if I've done anything, it's really just been God doing it. But it's been really cool to watch you grow and to see you become more confident and to see you kind of step into who you really are and who God intended you to be. It's always a beautiful thing to see. So thanks for letting me be in on that and be a part of it.
Thanks for being obedient. Because, yeah, it's always 100% God. But also, if we don't obey him, then that growth isn't going to happen. So thanks.
That's true. That's true.
I was going to say something else, and I don't know what I was going to say, so we're going to take one more break. Okay, and now we're going to get to the topic of the show, I guess, the mask-related questions, because it's relevant. Because what the heck is the mask parade, other than a masquerade? And I like plays on words. You can go get a fuller, in-depth description of why it's called the masquerade in the book, shameless plug, because I don't feel like explaining it right now. Sorry. I will say, I did not realize how common it was to talk about wearing masks until I published the book and started this podcast. But it seems like we all have our own definition for the concept, and it's used, like, everywhere. So, to you, what does wearing a mask mean?
Before I answer that, I just have to say that when she first told me about this book that she was wanting to write, she would reference it and say,
I was about to ask who she is.
You, Brittany. Every time you would talk about it, you would say, the masquerade,
oh,
the
yeah.
masquerade, the masquerade. And so this whole time, I was just like, yeah, it's called the masquerade, the masquerade. And then I can't remember for sure, but I feel like it was when you sent me the file to edit the book that I realized that it was called the masquerade, which is a play on the word the masquerade. And it just blew my mind. I was like, that is so awesome. And I never knew it the whole time.
I probably still have a copy of that, and I have a vague memory of it. I might have to pull it up and, like, I don't know, post it or something.
Yeah, it was just funny.
That's funny.
All right, so the question, I think, was, what does wearing a mask mean to you?
Yes.
I think that it means, if you're aware of it, it means that you are hiding your true self from others. And if you're unaware of it, you might not even know you're doing this, but you're hiding your true self from yourself.
Wrote this book.
So you're, like,
deep.
Ignoring reality. Could be if you, like, are aware of it, but you're just like, I don't want to deal with it, or you just didn't know. You kind of got handed something that you've been walking around wearing. But there's this quote I like to reference. I don't know who said it, but it's basically like, for who I am today, blame my parents or blame what happened to me, but for who I am tomorrow, blame me. So there does come a point, I think, for everyone where even if you haven't been aware, like, there's gonna come a moment when you start being aware of the things about yourself that you're hiding from, and so there's gonna come a moment where you need to start being willing to have that mask be removed.
Yeah. Something I forgot to mention, but has been reminded me to? Whatever. That's a little flavor for how I talk in real life.
Yeah, totally normal.
Just for the record, this is barely being edited, or not being edited, so deal with it. Sorry. Not sorry. Whatever you said reminded me. I fully intend on making, this part can be edited if you don't want me to ask you on the podcast. But I actually plan on making, like, what are they called? Devotionals based on the book and or podcast, because mm-hmm. I've been prompted to by a couple people, but mostly Sandy Powers.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And I was like, I don't know what to do. So that what you just said reminded me of that, because it's very deep and I might quote it. So who knows?
Very cool. Yeah, that's a great idea, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So there's no way easy way to flow out of that. Sorry, guys.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay, so the last question was, what does wearing a mask mean to you? Mm-hmm. And now I would like to ask, why do you think we wear masks? And you sort of answered that, yeah. But you might have a different answer. Who knows?
Yeah, I think I said it a little bit. But I think there's a lot of things that could do it. Often, I think it's our upbringing. Whatever our experiences were often led to why we have whatever mask it is that we're wearing. But I think that throughout our life, like, we might have multiple masks that, like, we have layers of masks, or we just, like, swap them out for, like, depending on our situation. But that could be, like, because of fear, we just don't really want to face it, or laziness, we just don't want to face it, or even self-righteousness, and we're just, like, thinking that we're so great, and that's actually a mask that
just
we
wear. Just call
too.
Us all out, why don't
so,
you?
So, it could be a lot of reasons, unfortunately. Once you're aware of it, it's, like, you got to deal with it, but it's tough.
Well. You're going to deal with it, or it's going to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think we ever stop wearing masks? Like, hard stop, never do it again stop.
Oh, man. Yeah, I read that question differently, whereas, like, can we? Like, I'm like, sure, we can take a mask off for a little while. All things are possible through God, right? So I think we could. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a human who can do everything perfectly. And so I think that there's going to be many masks that we've managed to remove, and God's really the one removing them. But I think it would be quite a person to look at and see and be like, wow, there's just literally no mask at all. I'm sure there is people, but I don't know that I've ever met one. So
I sure would like to know their secret if there are.
Yeah.
Dude. I used to work with somebody who used to say, I'm sorry, last time I checked, there was only one perfect person, and he did not work at Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, like, part of me almost feels a little guilty saying that, but another part of me was like, no, that's actually also a really good perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, last time I checked,
yeah,
nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, whatever you're... reasoning for saying it is if it's you're using it as an excuse for bad behavior, and you're like, I'm just not going to deal with it because I can't ever be perfect. And it's like, well, that's not the point. You should still work on your stuff. But if you're using it to remind yourself, I don't have to be perfect to be loved or to be worthy or something like that, then it's a good reminder too.
Somebody said that perfect's not the point. Is that related to what Dan says all the time?
Progress, not perfection.
That's good. Mm-hmm. But it's not what I'm thinking of. I don't know what I'm
but
thinking
that's what
of. But somebody said perfect's not the point, I think. And both are good references, so mm-hmm. we're just gonna roll with that one. Wait, so did you answer your original answer then? Because now I kind of want to know what that
oh,
was.
I just said, can we remove masks? And I said, we can, for sure. But okay. It requires intention.
Ugh, one of my favorite, least favorite words. Mm-hmm. One of my least favorite words, I guess I should say. Okay, I think the next question is, do you think... each mask we wear is a variation of the original mask we wore. Why or why not?
If you're in the camp where it's like you haven't even been aware of the masks, I think most of those ones would probably be from like your upbringing and things that you experienced, like up until a certain point. But I feel like I was just saying like you get these layers of masks. And I think those ones are for sure added just like based on like choices we're making, the things that happen in our lives. So yeah, I think that we are getting a variation for sure on the one that we have, because there's always going to be like wounds that we have that's like we carry really close to us. But then you can get a new wound that isn't necessarily related to something that you had happen in the past. It's like a new thing, but now it's like from this point on it's a variation of it. So
that's a very good point I did not think about, so thank you for that. All right, I need to take a drink of water, so we will be right back. And we're back. Every time I say that, I feel like a podcast that I listen to, and it's so funny. So the next question It's sort of relevant to a related to a question I already asked, so I probably should have put them together. Do you think it's possible for someone to go their whole life without wearing a mask? Why or why not?
No, I don't think it's possible. I think people are broken, and I think people want to hide whether they realize it or not. So, do I have any evidence to support my answer? Absolutely not, but that's how I feel about it.
I mean, that would explain society's obsession, especially girls and women with masquerades. Mm-hmm. So, and superheroes for that matter. So guys and girls, like, we're all, well, maybe not all of us, but probably all of us, somehow intrigued by something where somebody's got a secret identity. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're our age and you grew up with a certain blonde singer. or on Disney at all, really. I was thinking about that recently, and we won't go into that, but, like, Disney, almost all of their shows, if not all of their shows, have, like, some sort of secret identity.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
And if not a secret identity, then that person, then somebody in the show is, like, famous. And so they have to learn how to live with that. Mm-hmm. So that could be a blog post later. Or podcast. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But that did feel relevant to this. I'd like to go down a lot of bunny trails, y'all. I'm doing my best, okay? In my head, it relates. So yeah. If it doesn't make sense to you, well, you came to me.
It was your choice to be here.
And then, this one I debated asking, and I rephrased several times because it's a hard question to ask, especially because you and I both grew up in the church, and we have both had roles in the church, you more than me, but we both had, like, very important and relevant leadership type roles. Or literal leadership roles. How can the church help and or keep masks off?
Well, I think first I want to just clarify, I think what you're asking is specifically about, like, the church model of, like, going to a building and having, like, a pastor and staff and all those kinds of things. Yes?
Well, so that's the beauty of these questions, is I intentionally did not explain most of them because I wanted to know how you interpreted it.
Yeah.
So yes and... The capital C church and the lowercase local church. Like,
yeah.
Our church, you don't have to, like, be super specific, but, like,
right.
Our church, but also, like, just the church, the global church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I think about the global church, it's funny because I almost take out, like, specific leadership roles because I think we're all the church. Everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ is a part of the church. And so that's a form of community. But when you have, like, what we've experienced, in at least in our experiences so far, where it's, like, a church building, and then there's, like, staff, and there's a pastor, and there's, like, different leadership, I think you're just going to get slightly different kind of help in this about taking a mask off. So I guess I would consider it to be, it's also kind of connection to the next question. Sorry, I'm kind of skipping ahead. It's about community. I think of church as being a community, and obviously we've got people that we look up to. When you have people who you look up to and they are aware that they're being looked up to, then they're a leader. And so I think whether it's specifically in, like, a church building, a staff format, anything, if a person knows that they are a leader, the way they can help is, like, they work on their own masks. They take them off, they face it on their, like, they actually, like, try to do work. And when they do that, it's like the scripture where it says, like, you know, you look at the speck in your own eye before taking out the log. It doesn't mean, oh, sorry, the log in your own eye.
I
said that totally backwards.
I take out the log in your own eye.
And the speck in somebody else's, like, there might be a speck in somebody else's. So, but you need to deal with your own stuff first. And once you've done that, you're going to be able to see very clearly to help somebody else. So even you with writing this book, like, you had to go through a journey of taking off masks yourself before you would have been able to, like, fully understand and comprehend, like, how to help people take off masks.
Y'all, I took off a mask during the writing of the last chapter. I don't know if it's the last chapter, but my specific chapter.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever see the original draft except for Shelby Lilly, and that's because she read it before I could stop her, because I sent it, and then I was like, wait, no.
Yeah, I was like, this ain't healed.
but no. Yeah. I had another question. Oh, so a podcaster that you might hear me quote a lot, / speaker / whatever, Annie F. Towns, she talks about your personal life versus your private life, mm-hmm. with the quote-unquote actual leaders of the church, how important do you think it is to have those masks taken off in public, and what to what degree, mm-hmm. versus in private?
Being a church leader, I can, I guess,
not speak private, to it. Personal.
Yeah, I'll speak to it just from, like, that aspect of it. I think that it can be really powerful when you are a person who is looked up to, or people are see you in a public format, to be somebody who, like, is open about what you've learned and what you've experienced. I think it's, like, it would be maybe tough for it to be happening, like, you're literally discovering it in front of people, just because, like, that's going to be personally painful. I mean, I can't say that it's not not a good way. It kind of depends on the circumstance, but there's probably times when it's good for a leader to be experiencing, like, a very public removal of a mask, and other times it'd be better for them to experience that privately and then speak to it later from a healed place. So, I mean, I can't give you, like, one answer, because it really depends on the scenario and on the person and what lessons God's trying to teach them through that moment.
Sounds like what you're saying is, from a, when possible, especially if you're self-aware enough to deal with it on your own, rather than it being, like, picked out on you, it's probably better, in most cases, to deal with it personally and then be... I can't remember what it is, but Rebecca Lyons says something like the difference between being transparent and being vulnerable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I honestly always get confused by it.
So okay. I'm not going to be. But you know what I'm talking about, so y'all can go look it up. Rebecca Lyons, transparent versus vulnerable. And so, like, dealing with it on your own and then being, mm-hmm. whichever word she chooses to use, enough to talk about it. Yeah. Like, I don't know, I can't think of an example right now, but, like, whatever you're secretly struggling with, not doing it secretly, like Annie was talking about, but, like, personally, because mm-hmm. there's a difference between doing things private, which means it's more secretive, at least by her definition,
yeah.
versus personally, you're not going to put everything out there, especially yeah. when it's happening. Is that
mm-hmm. I guess so.
Kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess I look at it this way, like, let's say, like, I'm a person who climbs mountains, which, just so you know, I'm not a person who climbs mountains. Let's say I am, and I've climbed a lot of mountains, but I haven't climbed every mountain. And so somebody might come to me and be like, tell me how to climb a mountain. And I'm going to be able to give them a lot of information about how to climb some mountains. But if they come to me like, how do I climb this mountain? And it's a mountain I haven't climbed before. I could conjecture, and I could probably say a couple of things that might be helpful. But until I've actually experienced climbing that mountain myself, I wouldn't be able to give them the best advice. So I guess I look at it that way. Like, if I haven't fully gotten that mask taken off or really worked hard on it, like, how can I speak about it with a voice of experience? I could be like, hey, like, I'm going through this. This is what I'm doing. But I think it would maybe be like, you'd be a little bit along the journey. Wouldn't be like right when you're first experiencing it.
I have a comment on that, but before I do, this is a time where I need to make a disclaimer, because I feel myself moving a lot, and I know there's going to be a lot of sound from my hair and movement, so I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. That out of the way. It's interesting because it sounds a lot like my job, and I can't technically say what I do, but there are different departments in my job, and there's one that I'm quote-unquote an expert on, and that I can tell you whatever you need to know. Any other department, if a customer asks questions about it, I can be like, well, I mean, I can give you a general answer, but because I'm not X department, I really can't go into depth about it.
Yeah.
So I would need to get you connected to somebody who's more of an expert in this department. And that sounds kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is fascinating, because I've never thought about that. And that's going to be something I need to take into work with me. Maybe I'll enjoy my job more. Like,
I know how to climb particular mountains.
So, to sum that up, because we did take it a little bit farther, in a great way, so, as a church leader yourself, quote-unquote, sum up what you said, please, in the best way that you know how.
Sure. I think as much as possible, you know, we can, as leaders, do the best leading when we've kind of done that removal of a mask first ourselves and work through it and kind of have some advice to give. At the same time, there's going to be probably moments where you are learning it along the way and you're inviting people into that journey with you. And I think both are powerful, and I think it's just being God-led in either of them is important.
I think I just thought of the best way to describe this. Spiritual leaders. Like, yes, church leaders, because that's a relevant title. But so as somebody who is a church leader, but pretend you're not, or however you want to look at it, you still have church leaders of your own, and you still have spiritual leaders. What would help you to learn from them? What would help you take your mask off, or has helped you take your mask off because of other church leaders?
Yeah, I think when I see somebody who I look at their life and I say, wow, they've got, like, they're real, and they tell me, like, hey, I struggle with this and this and this, but here's what I'm doing about it. And it's not that they're just like, yeah, this is just a thing and I just accept it about myself. It's like, yeah, this is a thing. I accept that it's about myself, but I don't accept that it's going to be how I'm going to stay. So I think that's something that I looked for in any kind of somebody that I'm going to be looking, like, to for leadership, is that they tell me that they got problems, but they also tell me what they're doing about their problems. And that's what I hope to do myself.
I mean, basically, that's why I wrote this book, because I needed people in the church. And I need to put this out there. I'm not blaming anybody that was a leader in my church, because Lord willing, should the chance present itself, I'll have them on the podcast as examples. It's because I wasn't looking and or in a place to do it. But anyway, I wrote this book for that reason, to show people, like, people that are farther along can be transparent about it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a whole phrase that I was going to say with that, or a whole sentence that I lost my train of thought. That. So I'm sorry, guys.
What you said was great.
Okay, so as you referenced, what role does community play in wearing or not wearing a mask? And to clarify, yes, the spiritual community, because obviously that's what we're called to do as Christians, not just the physical church, but community. But also, like, anyone who's listening to this who might not necessarily be in that role, either as a Christian at all, or somebody who's not a Christian, like, they don't care, and they're just, they came across as because they heard me mention Selena Gomez. Like, something brought them to this, and they're not a Christian, and they're not, to their understanding, they don't plan on being a Christian.
Yeah.
I guess speak on both of those, both the Christian community and just community in general.
And what role they do in wearing or not wearing masks?
Yes.
Okay. I think healthy community can be really great and really healing when it comes to taking off masks. If you got people that you trust, that can speak into your life and be like, hey, have you noticed the thing about yourself? Like, if you're willing to listen to that, that can be really healing and really helpful. I also think that conversely, like, community can make it worse, because we can allow fear to keep us from actually being honest, and so we keep putting more and more masks on. And it's not necessarily the community's fault, but it is also like this breeding ground for, like, fear and anxiety, and, like, I need to look perfect. So it's got, like, a balance of, like, you have to be in safe places with people where you can know and trust, like, it's okay if I actually show who I really am here. And so, yeah, you have to figure that out. It's tough.
This is one of the reasons why I wanted people on the podcast, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, like, not alone, but, like, it wasn't my beliefs and words completely in the book. And technically, we're at an advantage / disadvantage because you edited the book, because so you're familiar with it, but I don't think you're coming at it from that. And the reason I say that is because, literally, the reason I put masks specifically was so that we could be a community to those people who don't, hey, maybe not have a community.
Yeah.
And also, your second chapter, Demi's chapter, and I think I said last name, but I'm not going to say your last name just in case I didn't. And then I think there's one other chapter where we put masks on people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you mentioned community like that, because it's relevant to what I wrote, and it's nice to have that, not comparison, but that, whatever. I think people will know what I'm trying to say. So we're going to take another break, because these questions have taken a little bit longer than I expected. And so, thank you. Get a drink, use the bathroom, whatever you need to do while you're listening. Okay. Ready. I hope you're all ready to go into it. The next question. I guess it's not a question yet. It's more of an explanation for the question. Is that in the introduction of the Mask Her Aid book, I wrote about two masquerade girls. One has always worn a mask and meets the prince for the first time at the ball. The other has known the prince for a while, maybe even forever, and wears a mask to hide, whether consciously or subconsciously, from him. Which masquerade girl are or were you? Mm-hmm. Or both, because maybe you've changed. Who knows?
I feel like I probably am the same. I mean, it's going to be different in just different circumstances that I've experienced, but I would say I'm more on the one who has known the prince maybe forever and wears a mask to hide. I think that goes into my, like, because I was brought up in the faith, I always knew about God, like, which we're looking at the prince as being God here, I think.
Yes, in the notes, for those who can't see it, it's a capital P for prince and a capital H for him.
Yeah.
It is God.
Yeah.
Or Jesus, technically. But...
yeah, so I was brought up in a home where we went to church and we had faith conversations all the time. So I knew about him and I even had a relationship with him. I think I probably fell into the subconsciously wearing a mask and... definitely in my teen years started to kind of take that mask off, but then a lot of my circumstances and even just my personality, I have definitely worn a mask many, many times over the years, and that's been both conscious and subconscious. So I think I'm about the same.
That leads to an interesting question. And we're not going to get specific, even though I totally can and I will in most cases, but how do you think personality in general plays into mask wearing?
That's a good question. I think you got some of the personalities that are really bold and really open, and they'll tell you anything. Like, they're like you think of somebody who you're like, that person's an open book. They will tell you everything going on in their life, stuff you don't even want to know, and they'll just tell you. And like, so that's a personality, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with it. And then you got another personality, which is what my personality is, just like, you don't really know what's going on inside their brain. They're only gonna tell you, like, if you specifically ask them, and even then, maybe not. And I think that's totally fine, too. Both of them are, there's nothing necessarily wrong with either personality. It's more just, like, if you're doing either of them out of fear. Like, some people might be, like, laying everything out on the table because they're afraid of holding anything back. And ooh, other people might be, like, keeping things that's in good. Because they're afraid of, like, being judged or... not being accepted and all that kind of thing. So it really comes down to, like, your reasoning behind why your personality is driving that. But yeah, I think that would definitely play into whether you wear a mask.
This really plays into my personality type, especially one type of personality. But I'm going to ask anyway, because I have no clue. Would you say I'm more of an open book or more of a run and hide?
That is hard because of the context of us having been close friends for so long.
Oh, that's fair.
Because obviously with me, you're very open, but I don't necessarily know you in other contexts where it's like, is she?
That's so very fair.
You could speak to it more than I would.
I don't know. See, here's the thing. Not even speaking about specific personalities. I'm a huge typology kind of person, and so I'll do all the personality types because I like to use them as tools. Let me put that out there. They are not identities. They are tools, even when you say I identify with or I am, mm-hmm. What you mean when you're doing it healthy is saying that you identify with it and you're using those as tools. And I always relate to the one where they think they're really open, but they're really not, or vice versa. So who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Honestly, I might be a little bit of everything. I do know that I'll go back and reread my journal entries and be like, what? I didn't know that. So whatever that means. There was another question about that I was going to ask, and I don't remember what it was. So I guess I should start writing these questions down. Yeah, right. There's a notepad on my lap, guys, and I am not using it. So we are on the question about what type of masquerade masquerade girl were you? Okay, got it. Now, If, oh, now we're going to explain the question. I probably should have said this first. If, oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm reading my notes, and sometimes I forget things. If God is the prince of our masquerades, and we are the princesses, did you have a fairy godmother, or even a godfather, I should put that in there, or even a fairy godfather, perhaps? If so, who was it?
I feel like when I think about when I wrote my part of the book, I would have just said my parents would have been my fairy godmother. Like, I didn't really have very many other influences in my life. If you're thinking about the aspect that the fairy godmother is the one who kind of prepares Cinderella to go to the ball and to meet, like, my parents were the ones who pointed me to Jesus and taught me all about him. So that's what I would have said. I think over the years, when it comes to less specifically about, like, becoming a Christian and having a faith, the different masks that I've worn, like, I mean, I can just say, like, I think it would be my experiences, but, like, the people, there's so many people, like, everyone I've worked with over the last 10 years, you know, I would say has been fairy godmother-esque in helping me to identify the things in my life that I've been wearing a mask on without them even knowing it. Sometimes they don't even know all the ways that people have influenced me, but for sure.
I'm trying to think of who would have been mine for becoming a Christian. Like, officially it was my mom. She wrote a letter about it and everything. Mm-hmm. But, like, there were also, like, other people. And I think it was literally just the church, yeah, I feel like, was. And then if you read the book, then there are a couple celebrities too. But that's a whole hot mess of a conversation now after several things. So we won't go into that. But it is interesting to think about the different types of people who could be a fire godmother. And it also sort of, I had a hard time asking these questions because the next question could sort of go into that because they're similar. Mm-hmm. And it's that, what about the mice, aka the friends who cheered you on and supported you along the way? Did you have any mice in your life?
Oh yeah. I mean, I would consider any friend that I have to be one of my mice. Just saying, all of y'all are mice. You're great. Because I tend to have friends who, like, I have spiritual conversations with and who were supporting each other and celebrating each other and speaking truth into each other. So I just think it's automatic, and I've been really grateful to have that. So definitely, like, my legitimate close friends, the people I work with, the community at Compass, my family, like, everyone has been so influential. And then I would also say, like, podcasts, like, people that I follow and listen to, like, those have been super influential to help me remove masks, because they've just opened my eyes and made me aware of things that maybe somebody who loves me and sees me all the time, they're just like, oh, that's just who you are. But hearing it from somebody who doesn't even know me might be like, oh, maybe it's a mask I'm wearing and it isn't actually who I am. So
that's actually a really good point. I don't remember who says it, but one of the Christian podcasters I listen to, maybe several of them, who knows, they're very intentional. And they've basically said that is, like, to a degree, they're aware they are our mentors, which would be, like, in some ways, the mice. But just everybody in general is also a really good point. Because when I wrote the question, I was thinking of Allie and Holly, who y'all will meet later, and who you will meet in the books, and then also Aaron Sizemore, who they're the ones who, like, the three mice, which is perfect, because, again, symbolism, in a Cinderella story, Mary, Gus, and Jack-Jack, or Jack and Gus-Gus, whatever. Point is, there were three of them, and they were mine. If I had to put a name to them, they were that, so it's interesting to think about. Technically, you're right. Really, all friends and influences, period, are mice. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's a funny question. Not a funny question, a funny calling them mice. Now the last question in the mask related questions, unless you say something to trigger another one. What mask or masks are we talking about today, and what did your masquerade, aka story, look like?
Funny, because I think I wore the mask because of fear, but I wouldn't say it's like the fear was the mask. So I think, like, the mask might have been, like, I've got everything together. I don't have anything. I don't have a problem. I don't have an issue. And I think that that's been a consistent mask throughout my life for different reasons and different stories and scenarios. But that would be like masquerade was like, don't, like, you are afraid, but don't let anybody know you're afraid, or you are unhappy, but don't let anybody know you're unhappy. Like, it is more like, just don't show who you really are.
That's a pretty great summation, I think that's the word, of the mask and the masquerade. Good job, Shelby. Thanks. We're going to take another break because it's been half an hour at this point. That's not true. We've taken like 2 breaks this time. But, and then we will get into the actual official part that is Shelby Lily specific.
Just kidding. Recording with Shelby Lily took a lot longer than either of us expected. So there's actually going to be a total of 4 episodes, which is kind of exciting because it was a lot of good content and I really think you're going to enjoy those episodes. So instead of moving on to her first chapter in this episode, I'm just going to lead us out with some prayer. Thank you, Lord, for providing me with a friend like Shelby and for having her agree to be on the podcast. Thank you for all those who will be listening to this episode. Thank you for the time we spent together recording this episode. Please let our time together be fruitful for anyone who listens. I know it was fruitful for me when we were there, and it's been fruitful for me since then, since I've thought about it and re-listened to it and edited it, and I really hope it's fruitful for anyone who listens. Lord, get it into the ears of anyone who needs to hear it. I trust in your timing. I trust in your provision. I trust that you will get the masquerade to anyone who needs it. And so thank you. Be with us, and thank you for the gift of words and stories and sharing in community. Amen.